And Anders, it's great to be able to sit here with you backstage at the Agora to talk about In Flames and what you guys have going on. And obviously you've played Cleveland before, so talk about being here in Cleveland and talk about the tour that you're currently on.
Yeah, we've been to this place many times. It used to be a dump, now it's not. They fixed up the place, and it's awesome. For a while, it felt like a home away from home because we were here so many times. We played the small venue, and now we played the big venue. So it's really cool. A lot of history here. I think on the first American tour we were here, I guess so. So that is that. The new album, it comes out March the 1st, and it was recorded a year ago. We had a couple of months off touring. So instead of just sitting doing nothing, because we were still on the battles cycle, me and Björn decided to go to LA and write and record a new album. We used the same team as we did last time. Howard Benson produced it, and this time Chris Lalji mixed it, and I feel really good about the album. I think it represents In Flames very well, how we sound these days and what we do, and it's full of melody and, you know, big choruses. They're fast stuff, they're slow stuff, they're a lot of dynamics, it's easy to sit here and say, oh, it's the best album ever, wow, wow. Because, I mean, to me, it is every time, you know. But then it's up to, obviously, the fans to decide whether they think it's the best or not. It doesn't really matter what I say. I can just, you know, but I think it represents, if you know what In Flames is about these days, I don't think there are too much, there's no surprises, but the album doesn't sound like, you know, the previous album. There's some, I think it's have a really broad spectrum of metal, so to speak. If you like In Flames, I don't think you will be disappointed.
One of the things that's really kept me a fan of In Flames for such a long time is the fact that you guys have never really done anything that it sounded the same. You know, I look at listen to your vocals, for example, and they don't sound they sound different than what they did back in the day. Back in the day, you were more brutal, where now you've added more melody. And I really think the band itself has really done a lot of different stuff over the years, and nothing that they do sounds the same. Nothing that you do ever sounds the same. And I think that's what's kept me a fan of In Flames for this long of a period.
Yeah, I also think the albums, I mean, all of them sound like In Flames, but none of them sound exactly the same. And at least in my opinion, I think as a band you should evolve. I mean, we can't do the same thing again and again, and we can definitely not do something that we did 20 years ago today. That wouldn't feel right. I mean, no, I love those albums. I think they're perfect. That's why should I revisit that time, you know? But it's if you listen to everything back to back, or I should say this as an experiment, imagine we recorded all the albums today using the same equipment, same studio, same everything during a short period of time, if that would be possible. I think you definitely see I think some people could go like, oh, that used to be my favorite, now this album is my favorite, it could change, because I think there's, you know, it has always been, like I said before, it's been the melody that's been there all the time. It's been the focus, and then they obviously come out in different ways. I'm not in the same mindset as I was back in the day. I think I want to take my instrument too. You talked about the vocals. I did what I thought was the greatest then. I mean, as I always do, but I don't want to do. I also want to take my instrument, further. I mean, the other guys, they become better at their guitar or the drum or the bass or whatever. I mean, why should I sit still and not do anything about it? So I've worked pretty hard. Long answer.
Yeah, well, you know, it's okay because, you know, I think that one of the things that's interesting is the fact that, you know, you guys went back to the original record label you came up on, and you've been with Nuclear Blast or had a relationship with them for a very long time, but, you know, you're back with them again, and you are with Nuclear Blast now. And, you know, very few bands really do that.
Yeah, we disappeared for a couple of years and did albums with some other labels, just tried our wings. But Nuclear Blast really have been there from the early days. And they are supportive to what we do. I mean, they let us do what we want to do. They never come in the studio and say, oh, wish you guys could do this type of song or do this or this. They have a lot of faith and trust in us, you know, that they wait until they get the album delivered, you know, and then they do their work. And we obviously trust them to do their work as well. I don't step in and say, you guys should do this, you guys should do this. So that is very cool. And they've been super supportive. So I'm happy that we are still working together.
Now, you guys, you know, speaking of working together, you know, the band itself has been around for a long time. I mean, well over, you know, 20 years and, you know, maybe 25 years, somewhere around there. And what has kept you guys going and doing this for so long?
Well, I would say the two main things would be the passion for the music. I mean, I love playing metal and doing what I do and being able to travel the world, but that's because of the fans. I mean, they are the reason I can do what I do. It's not super fun to be in a rehearsal room and nobody's listening, but it's awesome to come here to Cleveland and meet people and see, you know, smiles and screaming and moshing and everything. So it's my love for the music and the fans that drives me. If I don't feel at the end of the day, or let's say you walk off stage and feel like, oh, it's a drag, you know, I wish I could do something else, then I think it's time to stop. But as long as you feel like, oh God, this is the greatest thing ever, then I will continue as long as I, you know, I possibly can.
Right. Yeah. Now, when you guys came up, you know, early on and in Gothenburg and, you know, Sweden back then really had a great metal scene that was up and coming. And for those people that may not remember, or maybe they are too young to remember, you know, talk about what it was like coming up for you guys through the metal scene in Sweden.
Yeah, well, I would say we have two separate. One was the Stockholm scene, mm-hmm. with the Entombed and Unleashed, Dismember and Tiamat, and I mean, so many other bands. And then you had, you know, the Gothenburg side, which in the separate side of the country, we, you know, at the Gates and Dark Tranquility and, you know, In Flames and whatever around there. And then we had some of the band from the southern. I think they were got connected through, or labeled as Gothenburg type of, from being from the area, like Soilwork or Arch Enemy, but they are really from the southern parts of Sweden. And in the early days, we didn't know what we were doing. We were just a bunch of kids writing fucking songs together and, you know, having shows, playing shows. And if you're not playing in that night, you were probably helping out, you know, doing something at the club. And it was very supportive, you know. It was awesome to see when some of these bands got recognition from, you know, the bigger labels outside in around Europe, like, you know, Entombed got Earache and At the Gates got what was Peaceville, and you know, Dismember got Nuclear Blast and Tiamat Century Media, and you saw that, wow, it's possible, like people can actually pay attention to what we do outside of Sweden. But it was very cool. I'm super happy that I was part of that scene. Since that was pre-internet, you know, like, to get news, it was either through, you know, some radio, and we didn't have one. We had like one radio show in Sweden, I think, that did metal music, or it was like MTV, or right. And then Headbangers Ball and those things. And the influences were not as overpowering as it is, I would say, today, where it's so much going on and everything is accessible, you know. it's in your back pocket on your phone. You can do whatever. I think it was sort of more innocent in a way. I mean, I can't compare. I mean, it's hard to relate because I mean, kids today maybe have obviously different view and different. But for me, I'm glad that we grew up in that time before everything, because we were able to form a sound that I felt was ours and not so much something that everybody was doing, you know. But we took influences and probably stole some riffs here and there from some other bands. But it was a mixture of it, like Iron Maiden and death metal and German speed and thrash music. It was a cool time.
Now, looking back at it, it's like you guys were, you know, kind of like leaders in that scene. At least you were one of the leaders of the scene. And, you know, I can't help but look back and think, you know, you guys had a huge influence in that sound and what it became.
Yeah, so do people say. I mean, we were, I guess we were lucky to get recognition early on and get over here as well early on and do good tours with different bands. And we were doing, I think we, plus you know, the other bands that I mentioned, we were doing stuff that wasn't that common in the metal, to combine that heavy melody with, you know, the brutality or the fast pace. I met a lot of bands and I hear when I do interviews, like, oh, you influenced this, you influenced that. And it's amazing and it's a great honor, but it's not something I think about too much. You know what I mean? I don't walk the street and be like, oh, I'm this or I'm that. It's like, whatever, in a way. But, it's been a lot of hard work to reach to where we are today. As I said, growing up in that time, that scene, doing what we do, I think that can't be done today in the same way.
Right. You know, it's interesting because, you know, with the internet out there, you can reach more people, but it's harder to reach specific people. And because, you know, let's face it, it's diluted. And do you find it more difficult as a band to promote yourself these days?
Honestly, I don't think about that at all, really, because that's not my job. I create the music best I possibly can, then I mix it, master it, give it to the record company, and then I wait for them to do their work, and I go on tour and do my thing and meet my fans and try to play as good a possible show I can do every night for them. Right. And hopefully that will, you know, it's something that will stick with them for a while. And I hope that people can see that we're honest in what we do, but I cannot force anyone to listen to what I do. So it's just be as honest as possible and just do what we do. And then I can,
It shows in your records that you've done, because let's face it, I really feel you guys have put out a different album every single time, and it shows you really have had that attitude.
I think most bands think that way, you know. I why should you do something that you're not proud of yourself? I mean, that will shine through, I guess. And I mean, I hear things, especially in when I do interviews, people ask me, oh, what do you think about this? Saying this, what is your old days, blah, new fans say you suck, blah, blah, but back and forth. But it doesn't bother me, never bother me. And I still do what I do no matter what. And that's the only thing you can do, really, you know? So I think that's why we stood the test of time as well, because we are very serious about our music, but we have a relaxed attitude to what we do.
Yeah, and let's talk about that for a minute too. Let's talk about your voice, for example. We talked earlier about the fact that you, as a singer, have taken a different approach and you've evolved with your instrument. And how have you done that? What have you done to really evolve as a vocalist, especially now you're adding some more singing parts. You're a little more melodic as a singer as opposed to what you were before. And talk about your evolution as a vocalist.
Well, I've been pushing myself to do this. I mean, I started with very minor steps already, I would say, you know, Clayman or but I was not where I am today. And for battles, I went to a vocal coach because Howard recommended me a vocal coach. He said, I have a guy here that I usually send my vocalist to, and then so they are better prepared when it's time to record. And I was sort of skeptical, like, I don't want to be next to a guy just sitting there behind a piano and me doing scales upside, up and down, you know? I don't want to do that. I know better, you know? But I was like, I give it a shot, you know? I need to let go of some of that control, like I know best, that stuff. Because my technique always been very homeschooled. I never, you know, this is what I do and that's it. I never try to be the best or best singer in the world. It's not a competition. I do what I do and I think it works. But then I was like, maybe I should try it anyway. So I did, and it was amazing experience. And it was so much more about than just singing these scales up and down. It was a lot about breathing right, thinking right, and how you approach a song when you do it. And I learned a lot from that. So when it was time to do this album, I said to my management, I want to do more. Can you hook me up? Like I want to do 3 times a week instead of once a week. So I did that for 3 months, and it was amazing. Amazing. My vocal coach Mark is just fantastic, and it's more like almost like a guru in a way. Like I go there every other day, then and we just talk, like, and then we sing and we do scales, and he can see a development, I can see a development, and made my songwriting together with Björn much better, because we know now where's my register, where do I sing the best, where does my vocals sound the best, what kind of harmonies, what kind of what notes are easiest for me, and so on and so on. And it broadened my range too. I can sing higher in pitch and so on. And I think it helped my harsher, like the more the normal Anders voice, it made that better as well, because it's more pronounced than it was maybe early, you know.
Right.
So I'm very, very happy with everything on this new album, the way it sounds. And I think it's my best work. But again, that's just my opinion. It's not, if you want to growl all the way through this, maybe it's not the album for you, you know.
Speaking of this album, you know, we didn't really talk about this yet, but let's talk about the lyrics of the record. And, you know, what are a lot of these songs? What are a lot of these songs about?
Yeah, well, I the Mask. Sorry, speaking of vocals, I the Mask. I started with. It's not a concept album, but I took inspiration from, like, we as people, we carry a lot of masks with us for different situations to deal with the outside world, like and those can be different from person to person, and we can all wear several masks at the same time. And I think instead of putting on a mask, you need to deal with the darkness, and you need to deal with sadness and sorrow and all things you carry inside. Otherwise, you will miss opportunities in life, and you won't see the future. Definitely not bright. But I draw inspiration from that, and all the other songs are sort of based around the same. Not the same. Comes from the same source.
Right.
I don't like so much to go in detail with every song, every title, everything, because I think it's. If you ask me, I will answer. But for fans, I think it's bigger and becomes more personal if it's you can identify yourself with what I am writing. Mm-hmm. It makes it better or bigger for you, and it will probably stay with you longer. So that's why I use a lot of metaphors and things that so it feel like you can, as a fan, you can relate to it. And it's, I mean, it's a lot of darkness, sad stories, but with a sense of hope and then some light at the end of the tunnel. Yeah.
So for my last question for you, any last words to the fans that are going to be checking out this interview?
Well, sort of, as I said earlier on when I talk about why we're doing this, I mean, I'm just so grateful. So I thank my fans every night, and they are the ones that are making me do what I do. So there's a lot of love for our fans, and I hope they're happy with what we are doing in 2019.